So the second bracha, the bracha of Gvurais is called. This is what Megillah calls it. It's the bracha of Gvurais. There's one main theme in the bracha. It's bracha ta Hashem, chaye amesim. So clearly, the Gvura of Hashem, it manifests itself in the highest level through tchias amesim. So, what's the connection? Tchias amesim and Gvura. Also, Chazal chose. See, I told you this didn't come here by itself. They were trying to convince you this came here by itself, but
no.
I knew there was a sign of your being here. Even though I shouldn't accept it based on this week's fire show, but So what does Gvura have to do with Tchias HaMeisim? That's the question. Also, interestingly, Chazal chose to put Mashiv HaRuach Umorid HaGeshem in the bracha of Gvurais. And not only did Chazal choose to put it in the bracha of Gvurais, okay, because Mashiv HaRuach Umorid HaGeshem, where should we put it? Where? And it could be anywhere. But not only that, if you look in the first Amud in the Gemara in Tainis, the Gemara says that Mazkirin Gvurais Geshamim. That's what it's called. It's called Gvurais Geshamim. So it's not just, you know, we put it into the Brach of Gvurais. It's called Gvurais. It's called Gvurais Geshamim. It's called Gvurais Geshamim. So what is the connection Tchias HaMeisim with rain and Gvura? What's that connection? Okay, so we have to understand first, what is the terminology of Gvura in the context of a Ribbono Shel Olam? Gvura means strength. So strength is when you're fighting two people. Two people are fighting, and one is stronger than the other. There's very little context to strength when you're not against someone else. I mean, when you're lifting weights, I mean, when is it Negeya? Strength. Strength is that you're strong enough to win a battle. That's the point of strength, right? So that means, so what does it mean in the context of Ribbono Shel Olam? So it means an inner strength that we spoke at last week. The Gemara says that Daniel didn't want to say Ata Gibor anymore, because since Klal Yisrael is in Galus, so where's Ayei Gvuraisav? Where is the Gvura of Hashem? Where is the strength of Hashem? If Hashem had strength, we wouldn't be wandering around aimlessly in around different countries. We would be where we're supposed to be.
But so we're not extinct, though.
Okay, so that's the Gemara's answer.
Oh, okay.
So very good. So the Gemara answers in the Gemara in Yuma. Ayi Gvuraisav. So the Gemara says, no, Adrabba. The Anshei Knesset HaGdoila said, Zoi Gvuraisav. That Kadosh Baruch doesn't want to let the Rishayim do that, but he forces them to do it. We spoke with that last week when he said the Gibor. So Gibor is a Kadosh Baruch who's strengthening against what should be. What should be is that he won't let the other Umais destroy Klal Yisrael, but because he needs to let them. He needs to let them put us in Galus because we need to be there. So Kadosh Baruch Hu's Kovish is Gvura, his kas on the Umay Sa'ilam to allow us to be in Galus. So the idea of Gvura, according to that, is a Kadosh Baruch
Hu's kas
on the Umay to allow them. Yeah. So again, Ezar Gibor Kovish is Yitzray. Gibor means that it's against the grain. That's what we always said. So the first Midah of Kadosh Baruch Hu is Kovish is Gvuraisav. The Pirsir Siach Yitzchak says that Gvura means like we say in the Tefillah on Rosh Hashanah. What's the language exactly of the Tefillah? Keeping my mind right now. The Tefillah in Rosh Hashanah is Gvura Biminach, or what's the Here. So Oiz, strength is biyadcha, but Gvura is in his right hand. Gvura is when a Kadosh Baruch Hu is manning the world with Nis, with Nisim. Oiz, his strength, is Bialtcha. It's a Kodesh Baruch Hu's regular Hanag of Teva. Gvura is Hanag of Neis. Why? Because again, a Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't want to use Nisim and miracles in the world. A Kodesh Baruch Hu wants the world to run according to the Teva. But sometimes a Kodesh Baruch Hu has to go against that Ratzon in order to perform Nisim, which for whatever reason we decided that need to happen at that moment. There needs to be Nisim then. So there, a Kodesh Baruch Hu's Goyver uses his Gvura to perform Nisim. So again, it's the same concept. The Gvura is when it's not the natural, the regular, what's supposed to be, what you would expect. So Gvura is Nisim, it's Kodesh, it's Yitzray. That's the meaning of Gvura of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So obviously the greatest form of that is Tchias HaMesim. Tchias HaMesim is the person's dead, and all of a sudden you're rejuvenating life, giving back life. Not only that, one step further, if the guy died, it's because he deserved to die. So if he's coming back, there's a gvura there. So the Shbaruch's gvura is demonstrated in Tchias HaMesim, and obviously it's against Teva. It's against anything we would have imagined in the world. So it's a gvura of Tchias HaMesim. What about rain? But rain, we would think, rain is the natural order. Rain is just the way it should be. So there's a very big chiddush in rain. This is the way Chazal looked at rain. Everything else in nature is very predictable. Right? You know exactly when the sun is going to rise, going to set, what everything in the world has an order to it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets extremely lost in nature, because it's basically predictable. We know what it's going to be, right? So the place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacts with us directly is in rain. That's when you daven, you get rain. You don't, you're not going to get rain. Well, how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu hold back from us? It doesn't say anywhere. If you do Averis, it's going to get dark. No sunlight. It doesn't say that, right? The sun's going to come up. If you do Averis, you're not going to get rain. Rain is the place where we have FaceTime with Hashem, basically. This is Mefurish in the Vilna Gaon, in the first psukim of Bereshis here. In the first psukim of Bereshis, this is Mefurish in the Vilna Gaon, this concept of that rain is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacts with us. So therefore, rain requires a tremendous gevura, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to go against anything to provide for us parnasa. He made a world that is a certain way, and it's a gevura is geshamim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu retained that, and he will provide it to us if we deserve it. He won't provide it. He holds it back until we ask for it, until we deserve it. That's the gevura of geshamim. This is also in the Pirish of the Nesivis. The Nesivis is famous for the Pirish on Shulchan Aruch, obviously, but he has a pirish called Nachlas Yaakov al Hashas, and on Tainas Daf Beis, and also Tainas Daf Zayin, is when he says this idea, which is, by the way, one of the inyanim of why, if you think about it, why do we make such a big deal of rain on Sukkot? We daven for rain on Sukkot, and Hoshana Rabbah, big day. Why? Because it's a din on rain. Right, Tfilas Geshem, rain, the whole Sukkot, the Aravos, rain. What's the big deal? So the answer is because rain determines the nature of our relationship with Hashem. It determines how will Hashem interact with us. That's what it means. Will Hashem interact with us in a positive light or in a non-positive way? So you could say, well, what's the point of the din on rain if on Rosh Hashanah we already got a din on how much parnasa we're going to get? We already got a din how much parnasa we're going to get on Rosh Hashanah. Now there's a new din on rain on Sukkot. We already know parnasa. Parnasa comes from rain. Right? So the answer is, let's say HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives someone parnasa. And he says, this year this guy's going to get $100,000. Good. So, but I can pay my bills, that's good. Hashem. So, now, there's two ways you can get that money. You could go to Rosh Hashanah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you that judgment. And then all of a sudden, Hanukkah time, no money. You're in the poorhouse. Can't pay your bills, you're done. borrowing money, this, that, the other. You're in debt, $100,000 of debt. All of a sudden, Chavtes Elul, Erev Hashanah, the guy's great aunt passes away, $100,000 check in the mail, go pay back your chavis, and you're good. So Hashem will give you the money. Is that the way you want it? You don't want it that way, right? So the way you want it is, you got it, you know it, you rely on it, you have it. So the din on rain is how are you going to get the parnasa that you got on Rosh Hashanah. So the whole din of Sukkis is about our relationship with Hashem. Hashem says, yeah, I made you a promise. You deserved it. I looked at the checkbook. This is what you deserve. But you, how are you going to get it? That's what Sukkis is about. So the din on rain represents this in this relationship with Hashem. How are you getting it? What's your relationship with Hashem? That's what Sukkis is all about, the Ava between us and Hashem. It's all about the relationship between us and Hashem. So anyway, this all goes into the Gevura of Geshamim, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like, this is where nature is nature. Ois v'yadcha. But the Gevura is l'malam yateva. Gevura is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu changes the natural path. Rain is a change from the natural order. Rain is not part of the natural order. That's why it's not predictable. That's why you have to dive for it. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds back when we're not good, gives it to us when we are good. All that and rain is the physical manifestation of really the greater picture of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to relate to us. So that's why this is put in this bracha as well. Okay? So this bracha talks about primarily two points, is the rain and the Tchias HaMeisim. Yeah.
Doesn't it also say...
Doing the Tchias HaMeisim, yeah.
Doesn't it also say, you know, even though we don't say Morid HaTal, it's starting to me. But Morid HaTal, isn't there a Jew that's going to...
That's what he was saying, yeah.
A Jew that does Tchias HaMeisim.
Yeah, Tal Shal Tchia.
Right.
Yeah, but that's not for this year. Not to indicate, when people say it's not for this year, you know, I have what to say about it, but I'm not saying that. I don't know, I have nothing to say about that. I don't know anything about that.
I don't understand with our relationship with another book. But let's say somebody gets their normal
working
a job, normal paycheck.
So someone asked me this, he's asking this guy, he said, you must have a regular job, and like, well, like, what's upon us? And then he says, that's when my car comes in. Right? Right? All of a sudden, you know?
Yeah.
Right? So there's no
expenses, you don't expect.
Right. You know what I mean? So it goes both ways. Okay, but this is the idea. Okay, that's the hakdama to the bracha of Ata Gibor of Gevura. Okay, and again, this symbolizes Yitzchak as opposed to Chesed is Avram. Okay, now let's go through a little bit the bracha, some of the concepts that we can learn from the words of the bracha. So Ata Gibor. So we talked to Kadosh Baruch Hu directly that you are the Gibor, indicating that there is no other force of a Gevura in the world other than Hashem, really, because even we who try to have a Gevura, it comes from Hashem. So Ata Gibor. La'olam Hashem. What's la'olam? Means forever. Which, by the way, according to the context that we said before, that's exactly the point. Your gevura is with this, that you're la'olam, meaning that even in Golos, even today, we see your gevura. We're exactly bavarning. I'm not going to say bavarning in English, but...
Preempting.
Okay, so we're preempting the question. We're preempting the question of Daniel. Daniel said, there's no gvuras today. No, Ata Gibor La'olam. Even today we see your gvura. Okay, so we're addressing that directly. Okay, by saying, no, the gvura, we're not saying Ata Gibor because, well, Daniel said he's not Gibor anymore, but he was once a Gibor. So okay, Ata Gibor because you were once a Gibor. No, Ata Gibor La'olam Hashem. Even today we see your gvura. We see your gvura Hashem. In this that you allowed, you directed us to Golos. Let's put it like that. And where do we see it the most? Mechaye Mesim Ata Rav Lo Yeshia. You are the Mechaye Mesim. Now,
the strength is really an eternal strength.
Right. That what?
That eternal. Right. That it goes beyond just the physical because you're able to be Tchias HaMeisim.
Correct.
Which is a power that no one else
It's a gvura that
it's an eternal strength.
Yeah, you're saying there's a direct connection because it's manifest in a way that is beyond any other gvura we can we can relate to.
That's
why it's the right.
Otherwise, this.
Right. Okay. But the thing with that is that the lashon of the bracha is mechayei meisim. You are. It's in the lashon hoveh, in the present tense. Now, it's not present because Hashem will be mechayei meisim, right?
Right.
So Hashem, mechayei meisim. So right, it sounds like you're doing it now.
Every time, every day, Akash Baruch
Hu. So we're going
to
see that. Right.
Right.
So there's a process of Mechai Mesim. There's a constant process of Mechai Mesim. Yeah, when a person dies, we're going to see an unbelievable vart in a minute. But,
so give us a time of the Tfias Mesim. What? Gives us a taste of it now.
Right, so it's constantly happening, and we're going to see that in a minute. Okay? And Rav Lohishia, remember last week we said that the difference between Moshia and Oizer is that Oizer means Hashem helps you, but Moshia is when you put your hands up and Hashem does the whole thing. And obviously in Tchias HaMeisim, we have no hand in that. So Hashem is the Moshia, Hashem is just the Savior without any of our own hishtadlus. Okay? Hashem does it himself. Okay. Now, Michal, this is, now, like you said, we don't want to just talk about the fact that Hashem is going to bring back life, but we want to refer to Hashem's sustenance of life right now as well. So we say, Michal Kel Chayim B'chesed, Hashem sustains life through chesed. Chesed is called matnas chinam, is when we don't deserve it at all. So, you know, it's matnas chesed. Hakadosh Baruch Hu gives us mechalkel chayim bechesed. He supports life with chesed, and he's and mechayim meisim is part of the God is the gedula again, the gevura, rachamim rabim. Rachamim is more than chesed. Rachamim, in a sense, is when chesed is, you know, someone comes to you, to your door, and you have no reason to give him anything, but you give him chesed. Rachamim is really you shouldn't give him, but you can't hold back because he's nagging at your midas harachmon. He's a rachmonus. I can't not do it. So chesed is when, you know, I have no reason to, but I give. Rachamim is even more. You've already went through a din with dvarim and you've already decided it's not worth it, but I have rachamim. That's a kirachim of albanim.
So how do you touch it then?
Rachamim
gives some chesed. So it doesn't that touch?
No, well,
fit in.
No, why?
Touch by
motive, because if your Achmanis offers us chasadim, so you're saying it doesn't really
follow that same.
Uh-huh. Let's see what he says. Okay, to think about that exactly in the context, but by the way, and not he doesn't come out here, but the word chos. Chus v'rachim olenu. What's chus? Chus is another word for mercy. The Malbim says chus is that you don't think that the person deserves to get that type of treatment. So chus is like you feel bad for them because they don't deserve that type of treatment. Rachamim is they deserve it, but you're going to go against it anyway. So the Malbim says that's why. By the way, just off topic, because that's why. When Shaul HaMelech had a tzivui to kill Agag, to kill the king of Amalek, and he didn't do it. So the what was the big tine on him? So the pasuk says Lama Chasta. Why were you chas on the Amalekim? Because the midah you thought. Like there was a question on Hashem. They don't deserve to die. What did they do wrong? You didn't do it out of rachmanas. You did it out of chusa. Chusa is like they don't deserve to die. That was the bigger title.
So I'll say about rachmanas.
What? But that's the language.
In the pasuk, he says the Malbim.
He says rachmanas would have been one thing. You can't make maybe that doesn't question his being king. He had rachmanas. He can't control his rachmanas. He was overtaken by rachmanas. The little baby is that. That's not what it says. It says, maybe chemla. How did he say it? He says here, What? Not chesed. Oh, maybe it's chemla I'm talking. Maybe it's chemla is the word I'm looking for. So he says, yeah, I'm sorry, it's chemla. Right, chemla is that. Right, chemla. Chemla is that we don't deserve it, and you give it anyway. So here it says, but in the beginning of the pasuk it says, don't have chemla. Don't think that they don't deserve it. They do. Then it says vayachmol shol al agad, and that's the that was the taina on him. I'm sorry, not chos. Yeah, correct. It's chemla. Anyway, back here.
But over here by Shmon Esrei. So when he says right, so. To take care of our visceral needs on a daily basis.
We don't deserve it, but he gives us.
No, we're his banim, we're his avadim, so he has a chiyuv to, as an operant, but mechayim meisim rachim rabbi. Chiyuv is a meisim, that's a separate thing. So that's rachim. So rachim is a greater.
That rachim is greater, because
the Rebbe's teaching that chesed is really a greater without deserving, and rachim is deserving.
No, I'm saying rachim is, they deserve not to get it. And you give it off all peeking. No, that's what I'm saying. No.
Chesed was.
No, chesed is the guy comes to your door. I have no reason to give him. I have no reason not to give him. So you give him. Rachamim means rachamim. Rachamim b'din. I already made a din. He deserves not to get it.
Right.
And I give it anyway.
That's a
higher. So I'm also saying rachamim is higher level.
Okay.
It's a little further down. That's why it's rachamim b'din. We always say right. So here we say mechayim meisim b'rachamim. Tchis meisim requires rachamim because he's dead.
Right.
The psak was on him that he's dead already. So now you're going against the psak, you're bringing him back to life. So that requires a midah of rachamim. That's I'm agreeing with you. It's a higher level. This is the way they teach it over here. Then we say, to remind us, like we were saying before, that everything in life, you don't need to go that far to have emunah in tchias ha-meisim. You know, it seems very far to us. So he says, no. So you may look in your daily life, and there are areas in your daily life that, again, like we said, Hashem is on Moshiach. There are situations in our life that we put up our hands and we have no way of saving ourselves. You have no way of saving yourself, and a Kodesh Baruch Hu stepped in to save you. Soymech Neuflin, Hashem supported those who are falling. I mean, the person that's falling, he can't save himself. He's powerless, and a Kodesh Baruch Hu does it for him, and that's constant. So you don't Roifei Choylim is a person's deathly ill, and a Kodesh Baruch Hu brings them back to life. Umatir Asurim is it can be one of two things. Either Asurim literally means right. A person is shackled. A person is tied up. Kodesh Baruch Hu unties them. So either it means literally they're in jail or something like that, and they can't come out, or physically, the person can't maneuver themselves. They can't walk, or they can't. Or like you're saying, mentally they're stuck. Whatever it is, Kodesh Baruch Hu can take people out of those types of situations, and that itself is a bechina of tchias ha-meisim that we have to think about. So, and not only that, the Sif Sechaim says a great mussar from this. When we're davening Shmon Esrei, you can think of this mussar. He says, we go through life, my kids actually asked me, they said, I said a story, that there's a hashkacha protis, that this person made a Kabbalah, and because of that he was saved, his life was saved, without getting involved in the details. So I was telling my kids the story at the Shabbos table, that this person was accepted upon himself something, and that's chus, and then ended up saving his life. So my other daughter said, I made a lot of Kabbalahs, and Hashem never saved my life. So my other daughter said, Hashem saved you from all the situations that you didn't need to have your life saved. Right? So the La'uma, she said, so. The Sif Sechaim says is that we're saying now Kadosh Baruch Hu was constantly being a soymech noiflim. So it was, I didn't slip. I don't remember falling and like having this magic. Yeah, but you didn't slip. That's the point. Right? And I could have wrong.
Yeah. You realize all the things you
Right. So this thing that you constantly need to be Somech Noflin, you constantly. I wasn't a Reif HaKoyim. The greatest Reif HaKoyim is not getting sick, is not needing the reform. So this that we always need this itself is a tremendous limud that you're supposed to be aware of, and that's part of the chiddush that we're supposed to think about, and that's why it's in the Lashon Hove. This is constantly happening, and it's in the tense of the present tense because it's constantly happening. Okay, and he's going to fulfill his promise to those who sleep in the dirt. Now, who is that talking about? So, one pshat is talking about the Avos, and this is a promise to the Avos. That's how Abraham brings the pshat. But obviously, the Pashup pshat is it's referring to those people who are dead and they're in the ground. Israel is going to remember the promise to them. But the Siddur, the Siddur Agro over here brings down that an unbelievable thing. And this is also brought down in the Evan Shlema from the Vilna Gaon. In a different sefer, the Evan Shlema from the Vilna Gaon. And he doesn't say this deep, but it's interesting to note that the Mason are called Yeshenei Ofer. They're sleeping in the Ofer. Sleeping? So they say, we spoke this out on Shabbos in the Rambam share, that the Vilna Gaon says that even after 120, when there are Yesurim on the goof of a person, if bugs are eating up the skin of a person, then the neshama of the person has tsar from that. Well, the neshama of the person has tsar from the tsar to the goof, even after 120 years.
He feels it.
That's what the Vilna Gaon writes. He has. If I find the sefer Evan Shlema, he has a dik and a pasuk. I can't remember the dik and the pasuk right now. I get the sefer in a minute. I'll show you. So the Siddur Agro brings down here that when they were that dead people are called Yeshenei Ofer. They're sleeping. Means they're still connected. When a person's sleeping, they don't feel disconnected from their neshama. So a person's dead is because they're sleeping, really. The neshama is still connected to the guf. The neshama is still connected to the guf for some reason. And I saw in this sefer, he brings down that from the Arizal, that the Arizal says that's the idea of making a tziyun on a kever. The lashon of the Arizal is you know, the Gemara says, "Tam binyan hatziyun who kein kisei umoyishav lishrei salav ha'oyres ha'makifin ala nefesh." That the tziyun is like a chair. The tziyun is like the gravestone. It's like it's supposed to be like the chair for the nefesh, which is hanging around over the guf stone. Whatever that means.
So how does that tie to the Shabbat of Nishmasi? Right, because there we're saying that we're Yasha and Tini brings back our neshama. Our kind of neshama is after the always neshamas of being Shina. Hashem returns our neshama.
Right.
As opposed to what Rebbe saying
now. No. It's still, saying, you still no, have to bring it back.
No, but Rebbe saying now that when someone has
given you sleep, it's a connection.
Rebbe said, right. It's a connection. No, I'm saying, but we're saying that even a dead person is like sleeping. But the point is, there's still a connection between the two. There's still a return. You send something in the mail, there's a return address. There's still a connection there. Okay? So, by the way, Mo Daniel Fanacha, Shachla, Lechemla. Lechemla, what's Lechemla? Lechemla. Because the same thing.
Because we don't deserve it. Right.
The Kanyevsky says again. So, yeah.
So the Matseva is the chair?
Yeah.
The Matseva is the chair.
So anyway, but this is what it means, the Shane offer. It's an unbelievable language if you think about it. They're sleeping in the dark. I was never aiming on it until I was just preparing this. It's an unbelievable language. We Shane Afar. The dead people are called sleeping in the dark. It's an unbelievable it's machshava. This is why, obviously, like cremation and all this stuff is very, very, very terrible, because that means a person is like, yeah, a person's denying this whole concept of tchias amesim and the distilled connection. Where do you? They're like, okay, once you're dead, your guf is done. It's a kfir on the whole concept that your neshama lives on somewhere and it's all an eternal hemshech and the guf is still waiting to come out. It's a very deep level of kfir. I remember that we were with Rabbi Botkins, and one of the things he does is he tries to get some people in the nursing homes to sign off that they're gonna go for, they're gonna have kvura, not cremation. So we were telling this. You were there? No, we were saying this to Rabbi Aaron Schechter when he was here, and he didn't understand what he was talking about. So no, because people would do cremation otherwise. So people do that. So yeah, it's a big thing. So he explained to me, why do people do it? So he says, because it's expensive to do kvura. It's expensive, they're dead. Really expensive. He says, no, the kids want the money. And I think he started bursting out crying. He said, people will do that to the parent for a couple dollars? The moms couldn't be so the concept. He wants to support bursting out crying. But he's like, for a couple of dollars someone will do that. But it's a very deep level of denial of the eternal connection, the eternal chashivas of a neshama. Okay. So now, just to wrap up, that's Lishene offer, unbelievable. Unbelievable emuna to have in those words. This one here is saying that who is like you in your gvura? Not only Hakadosh Baruch Hu make tchias amesim, Melech meimis u'mechaya, and he create matzmiach Yeshua. Matzmiach means that Hakadosh Baruch Hu take like a tzemach. How does a seed grow? First it decomposes, and then from there the life grows. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is matzmiach the Yeshua in each and every person. That's what he's meimis. Hakadosh Baruch Hu takes away life. But the taking away of the life is like a decomposition of, is like the seed decomposing. It's for the purpose of eventually coming back. So it's just the person is there, is temporarily like the seed in a process of misa, so that they can come back and regrow in a better state. So that's the Meimis u'Mechaya and the Matzmiach Yeshua. The language of Matzmiach Yeshua, all these things, unbelievable. The connotation of each word is unbelievable. It's Matzmiach Yeshua. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Naman L'Achi Yismesim. And he promised us, and he is Naman to do it. And we finished the bracha on Mechaya Mesim. This is the Indian of the bracha. So the bracha, first of all, is a tremendous chizik and emuna, and it's a tremendous gevura of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
And it's also present.
And what? Exactly. And the whole thing is in the present. Right. And that's a big chizik also, is to remember that it's constant. It's constant. This process, is a constant process of HaKadosh Baruch Hu bringing it closer and making it happen and everything. But even the Misa itself is a process to the Tchias HaMesim, which is going to happen. It's in the process to perfect the neshama, whatever tikkun that the person needed or didn't need. That's part of that avoda. So that's the end of this bracha. Okay. Now, if anyone wants to wait a second, I'll try to find the lashon of the Avi Sleima. But
Yeah,
he came away from us.
There were Shabbos there, but come time to get some mason, the Galus said Hakadosh Baruch Hu is going to return the Shabbat back to the original group. So no matter what happened to your group, right? Whether something happened to your group, whether fire,
he says, his lashon is like this. This is scary stuff. This is like, these things are scary. The sefer, the Avnei Shloima, in the end, he talks about Olam Haba and Misa, and but his lashon is like this. Thank you.
experience. It must be here. Huh? So where is this? I can't find it, so I'll try. Yes, it's here. He has a tremendous diak in the pasuk. Okay, I can't find it. The language is unbelievable, but I don't see it here. Okay. He had a diak, it's such a gewaldic diak. What? Where do I have to find it? I have to find the file, yeah. Where he talks about it. Okay. Anyway. I'll try to find a different thing.
So that's the whole thing, because otherwise, if it's not going to go back to our hoop, then what's the case of Mason? Right, so you're right. It goes up to but there's a sea in there because it still fills it, so the sea and it's weird
right.
Sort of rest that it takes that.
That
becomes a conduit, sort of speaking. And then it goes to Mason, then it returns it back to the book.
The hush of these things is if I find it, I'll let you know, because it was a very interesting lesson. Okay, Shkoya. Nice to see you again. How are you?
Concept that you were talking about.